Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I know I don't want to see a show of hands for who is going to be my tickling victim today, for I know who is going to be my tickling victim today.
Everybody come here.
You know who is going to be my tickling victim today? Do you know who? Oh, okay, okay.
She has four shots today.
Oh, four shots?
Yeah, she's a
fish.
Oh,
are you?
Yes.
Okay. How about you?
She's a sister, so she has that shot.
Then that leaves nobody except Alright. Okay, everybody. Can you hold yourself? All right. Where did we end the last time? Do you remember where did we end? Sayyidina Musa. And what was, where did we end? Yes, the last thing we talked about was when he came close to the Pharaoh, and close to the Pharaoh, and then he did what? He slapped the Pharaoh on the face, right? And then they tested him to see, he's a baby, he doesn't know what he's doing. You want to kill a baby? Are you afraid of a baby? No, I am not afraid of a baby. Yes, you are afraid of the baby? You, the mighty Pharaoh, are afraid of what? A little baby, and you're using this slap as an excuse to kill him. No, I just want to kill him because he slammed the Lord, the Lord of Egypt. No, you want to kill him because you're afraid of him. No, I'm not afraid of anybody. It's because he slapped me. Na'ara, you are afraid of him. Aha, you are afraid of him. Na'ara, I am not. Aha, na'ara, aha, na'ara. I can prove it that you are afraid of him. How are you going to prove that I'm afraid of him? Because he's a baby, he doesn't know what he's doing. And you know that he doesn't know what he's doing. And this is why you're using this as an excuse to what? Kill him. See? You wanted to kill him because you are afraid of him. Nah, I am not. Okay, then how can you explain you want to kill him even though he's a little tiny creature who doesn't know what he's doing? So, I can prove that I'm not afraid of him. How? I want to kill him just because he slapped the God of Egypt. Then, if he doesn't know what he's doing, I'm not killing him. Really? You promise? Yes. Okay? So, they tested him. They offered him the what? Charcoal and? Exactly, and the dates. And which one did he choose?
Charcoal.
Charcoal. With cera. Yeah, he chose the charcoal. And then it did burn on his what?
Tongue.
For the rest of his life, he was desperate to be able to talk, because when he talks, nobody would be able to understand him very well, because he would always be talking like this, because his tongue is burned. But if you are in his place, which one would you choose? Burning your tongue or cutting the neck? So Allah replaced him, and instead of being slaughtered, burning his tongue, that's a good compromise. Nobody is going to be able to understand what he's saying. Now you are without a protection. Watch me. watch me. No, no, no. Your dad is far away. Watch me. I can anytime attack you and tickle you until you stop breathing. Watch me. Huh? So, now, Musa is growing up to be a strong young man. Yes. Well, it's my time to tell the story, it's not your time. Now, what happens? He's growing up to be a strong young man. And he's growing up in the backyard of the Pharaoh. Can you guys all come here so that I can just be paying attention to you here? So I don't have to go here and come there, go here and come there. Over there, please. Like this. Here! Here we go. Yeah, you want to be bold? You want to be bold? I guess. Don't get the carpet burning. Okay. So now you're all here. So now Musa is grown up to be a strong young man. Okay? And he was so strong, no, please, here. And he was so strong that he can carry a car, small car, all by himself. This is how strong he was. And the Pharaoh never liked him. And he never liked the Pharaoh. But after this incident, where he had to burn his tongue to get away from the Pharaoh killing him, his mom kept him away. Completely away. She makes sure that if the Pharaoh is in this place, Musa doesn't go there. So the Pharaoh forgot all about him. See Allah, he made the Pharaoh completely forget about Musa. And he will not see Musa anywhere. And Musa grew up to be a young man, and the Pharaoh didn't even see him since the time he was 4 years old when he slapped him on the face. So now the Pharaoh is not aware that there is a creature existing on this earth called Musa, and he's so big and strong now. Yes, the guy that was a pound and a half when he was born, now he is strong, strong, strong young man. Then, what happened? When did the Pharaoh get to hear about Musa again? Musa was walking in the street. Okay? Musa was walking where? In the streets. And he saw a fight. He saw what? Fight. This fight was between two people. Was between what? Ah, come here. I promise you protection. Come here, I'm not going to touch you. Okay?
I'll give you protection.
If you don't come here, then we're going to have to make you here.
Yes. So, here we go. Sweetheart, don't sit behind the chair. Just push the chair this way and sit here. So, he said he saw two people fighting. The first one was an Egyptian guy. The first one was what? Egyptian guy. And the second one was from the people of Musa, which are the children of Israel. Which are what? Children of Israel. They were fighting together. And the Egyptian was so mean, he was beating up the Israeli guy. He was beating up the guy from the children of Israel. Musa came running. And the guy from the children of Israel said, Musa, help me! Musa, 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 help me! The guy, oh, 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 I, help me! The guy is about to kill me! Help me! So Musa came running. And he told the Egyptian, get off the guy! He said, it's none of your business. It's what? None of your business. He said, get off the guy! None of your business! So Musa pushed him just like that. Get off the guy! And he pushed him just like that. I'm not kidding. This is what Allah said in the Quran. He just kicked him like this. What happened to the guy? He died. See, he's very strong. That was how strong he is. Now, Musa disappeared. Musa told to the guy, hey, the guy, Egyptian died. We're in trouble. We are in big trouble. What should we do? They say, you go back home, I go back home, we leave the guy here, and nobody will know that we are the ones who did it. Okay? Killed the man. Egyptian guy. The Egyptian guy died. They left him dead in the street. Huh? Rewind? No, I'm sorry. I continue later. So, no. I mean, by the time they carry him, if they see them, the soldiers will go after them and kill them. So they went. Then, in the morning, the guy was found. His family went searching for him, and they found him dead on the road. They found him Ford. You know what Ford stands for? Found dead on the road. Found dead on the road. Ford. The car, Ford. Found dead on the road. So they found him dead where you saw on the road. Ya Allah, he's dead on the road. Then they started looking like crazy. Who killed him? Who killed him? Who killed him? They didn't know who killed him. The police started investigating, and the Egyptian intelligence started going around and asking everybody. They don't know who killed him. So while they were investigating the crime, it happened again that Prophet Musa was walking again in the streets of Egypt. And then he saw the same exact guy, the same exact what? Guy, fighting with another Egyptian. And the other Egyptian is about to beat him up. So when the Egyptian is about to beat him up, the guy, the same guy from the children of Israel, he was with Prophet Musa when he killed the first one, the same guy is getting again in trouble, is getting again into a fight. So he said, Musa, help me, Musa, save me, the Egyptian is about to kill me. So Musa said, you are nothing but a troublemaker. And he was walking towards him angry. You're a troublemaker. You cause us trouble. And if you continue to cause this trouble, we all will be in trouble. And when he was walking towards him angry, like this, you cause us to be in trouble. You are a troublemaker. When he was talking and walking towards him, guess what happened? The guy thought that he's going to kill him. So the guy got scared. He said, stop it, Musa! Stop it! You're going to kill me like the guy you killed yesterday? Are you going to kill me like you killed the guy yesterday? Are you going to kill me? Like that. Guess who heard? Everybody around. They ran to the police quickly. They ran to the field. We found out who killed the Egyptian guy that was found dead on the road. We know now. He said, who? He said, Musa. They said, how did you know? They told him the story. The guy that was him told about him. So the Pharaoh said, Musa? Musa! Musa! You remember? He had never seen him since he was four, and he was. He said, Musa back again into action. Musa! Arrest him and kill him right away. Kill him on the spot. If you find him, kill him. Don't wait. Don't even initiate. Don't even think about him. You see him, you kill him right away. Who said that? Because he was thinking of what? The dream again. And this is a good opportunity for him to kill Musa and get rid of Musa. So, guess who told Musa that the people, the Egyptian guards, are going to kill him? A friend of his mother, a person who likes his mother, the wife of the Pharaoh, was living in the palace, and he heard the news. So he went running to Musa, and he told him, Musa, what? Run away! Get out of Cairo! Get out of Egypt! Why? The soldiers and the guards are getting ready to arrest you and kill you. Run for your life, run for they, if they will see you, they will kill you. You might say, isn't he so strong? They can't kill him. But they always say, numbers will override, yes, override courage. Numbers will override courage and strength. If 20 soldiers round him up, Or if 100 soldiers round Musa up, wouldn't they be able to kill him? They will. I mean, he can't defend himself against 100. He's just what? One man. So he said they are going to come search for you everywhere. As soon as they see you, they will what? Kill you. So run for your life. So he ran. He started running. He said, can I take with me some clothes? No! Run! Can I take some food? No! Run! So he started, he went running right away out of there in the desert. If you go to visit Egypt, once you step outside the boundaries, the green strip, you know the green strip? The Nile River flows into Egypt like that. Okay? Okay, Sarah? Around the Nile River, here is green and here is what? Green. This is called the green strip. Once you step outside of the green strip, it's all desert. It's all yellow. That's right. And if you fly on top of Egypt, you see that. The Nile, green strip here, green strip there, the rest is yellow desert. So he ran away from this, the town, and he went into the desert. And he kept walking, walking towards Palestine. Towards what? Palestine. So if this is, you know how the Red Sea has two horns like that? And here is the Mediterranean, and here is Palestine. So he ran this way, all the way. He crossed the deserts of Sinai, and he went all the way to the south of her. Yeah, he kept running for several days. He kept running, running, what? No, no. He will stop by every time he finds a well to drink water, or finds dates to pick up from the trees and eat, or he finds generous people who are going to host him. At this time, people who are kind, they build so-called guest houses, small houses, and they make it for the travelers. Those who travel and they don't have food and money, they stop by, they eat and drink, and they continue the trip. That was very common in the old days. It's called guest house or hospitality. And people used to brag about that and take credit for it.
And somebody would say, we, my family, owns 100 guest houses. My family is better than your family.
No, my family is even better than your family 10 times. Why? Because we build 1,000 guests. We will build 1,000 guest houses. So it was a source of what? Pride. So there were lots of these things. So here we go. And then he kept walking, walking until he arrived to a place called Madian. A place called what? Madian. You guys need to be quiet.
Come here.
You guys need to be quiet. You can play, but be quiet. Ali.
Subhan.
Ali, I'm going to take care of you.
Subhan.
Ali.
Come here. Come here. Sit up.
So, what happens? He arrived to a place called what? Madian. And what is in Madian? What's in Madian? Madian happens to have brought a tribe, lives there with his two girls. He has only two girls and he lives with them. And he's very old and the girls are taking care of him. And you know, otherwise he can't move, he can't even go to the bathroom. They help him, they clean him, they just take care of him. Now he, Prophet Musa, arrived to this place. He was able to find a guest house. He ate a few dates and he drank some water and then he went under the tree to rest. While he was under the tree resting, there were a well nearby. There was a what? Well nearby. And this well has the shepherds, the people, the sheep takers. The caretakers who takes care of the sheep, the shepherds, okay? The what? Shepherds. They come to this well and then they fetch the water down, from down, and they pour the water into a container that surrounds the well. They pour the water into it so that the sheep will what? Meh! Will come and what? Drink. So, when he puts the water there, when they put the water there, they attack from all directions. Do you guys see how you attack the pizza? When I say attack the pizza, don't you all surround the pizza and attack from all directions? Right? This is how the shepherds do. When they see the water, they attack They and the what? And the sheep, they attack the water and they what? Drink and let their cattle what? Drink. Once they attack, they don't go away until all the water is what? Gone. And before they go, once they are done, 10 people, how many? 10 strong shepherd men will carry the rock. Whoops, and they cover the well with the rock. Why? If they don't do that, sandstorms are going to what? Are going to what? Yes, it's going to cover the well, destroy the well. So, when they come the next day, they push away the sand, and they take the rock, and they bring the water, and they do that. Now, they were two girls. Two what? Girls. Standing a little bit away from the well. And they have their goats and their sheep with them. They can't go and attack the beasts the way you guys attack. Why? Because they are girls. And it's not appropriate for the girls to go and among the men, and it's so crowded. And you, step away, you, give me a room, you go, you. They can't do that. They are girls. So they have no way except to wait until everybody's what is done. And then they go with their sheep to where? To the well. See if there is some leftover water. If there is what? And the people who do care for their sheep, they are so mean that they don't want the girls to come and drink the water. They say, you girls, we don't want to run out of the water. You go away. So they come, and whatever leftover water, they want to drink. And what happens if there's no leftover water? They go back thirsty. Can they lift this rock and bring water? No. Why do the shepherd people, the shepherd men, put the rock back to make sure nobody, that they got it, those girls are not getting water? Why? They say, we don't have much water. It's better that they don't get water. Who cares about that? They were so mean. Now, Prophet Musa was sleeping under the tree like this. And then he was like, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah. I eat dates. I drank water. I got very good sleep. Alhamdulillah. I feel good. I'm very thankful to you for the blessings. And he sat saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And he was watching this. He was watching what? This is what the girls are waiting outside, are waiting far away until the shepherd people finish. And then they are standing in this area. So he went to the girls and he said, which disaster caused you to be here? Which what? Disaster. Why? Because it is a disaster for a girl to be in that situation. Girls are more precious than being in this place. This kind of business is for the boys. Girls are too precious to do that. Okay? So he said, which disaster got you out of your treasure box into this well to get to fight with those dirty savage shepherd people over water? So one of them said, we are waiting until we go away, and we have no choice because we are only two girls and our dad is very old. We care for him. He can't even go to the bathroom by himself. He has nobody to care for him except us. We have no other choice except to do that. They said, what? No way! Give me the goats. And then he went. Okay. By that time, the shepherd people, the shepherd men, okay, the sheep caretakers, what happened to them? They are done, and they covered the well, and they walked away. So he said, oh, come, girls, come. All right. And then he went to the well. Guess what did he do to the rock? Two fingers. No, three fingers. He just lifted the rock, like lifting it away, and he put the rock aside, and then he brought them a lot of water. an amount of water that they have never ever dreamed of having in their whole entire life. They were able to let the goats, the sheep and goats, drink until we have never seen that much water before. And then alhamdulillah. Then he said, are you guys, did you have enough? She said, alhamdulillah. He said, okay. Then he took the rock all by himself and he put it back. And he said, go in peace. Go back in peace to your home. They went back home. And then Prophet Musa went back under the tree, okay, planning for his next move, thinking where to go and what to do, and where to settle down. Because now he's arrived to a civilization, which is the city of Medina. And then he wants to start living there because can he go back to Egypt? He would be killed. So while he was thinking and planning and making plans, one of the girls came walking and she was very shy. This is how Allah describes here in the Quran. She was very shy when she was walking. She was walking very shyly, coming to him. And then she stood, he was under the tree, she stood far away like this, and she's so shy. She was shy, like girls used to be shy. Right? Because girls are shy because that's part of their beauty. That's why they are so precious. One of the things, one of the reasons they are so precious is because they shy away from awful things. That's why they are so precious. So here we go, she came and she was so shocked. And then she stood, you know, a little bit far away from him. And she said, oh, you're a stranger. Oh, you're a stranger. Oh, you're a stranger.
And he was like,
huh? Who's calling my name? Oh, yes, yes, sister. Yes, how may I help you? She said, my father wants to talk to you. Because he wants to thank you for what you have done to us. Would you please come with me? He said, okay, fine. How do I go? How do I see your father? She said, follow me. I will walk and you walk, you follow me. She doesn't want to walk what? Next to him. She said, you follow me. She's a daughter of a prophet. Shu'aib is a prophet, is a father. And of course she's a daughter of a prophet. She's shy because she's a daughter of a prophet. And that's the healthy daughter, the healthy girl. The girl with healthy heart, with good manners. Shyness for the boys is a bad manner. Shyness for the girls is a good manner. God, a boy who's so shy and he's so, oh my God, oh, I can't fight. Oh, when I see the enemy, my face turns red. And then I take the gun, and I throw it on the floor, and then I attack my enemy, and I say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Of course, that's for the men, it's an ugly thing to say. But for girls, it is okay, yeah. Girls are not meant for that kind of business. They're meant to be nice, and shy, and beautiful, and precious, right? Like candy. You know why girls have to cover? If you have honey and you leave the honey uncovered, what happens? The flies, the fruit bugs, they will come and will be all over the honey, sucking from here, taking a piece from there, and suddenly the honey becomes disgusting, right? That's why it's like covering the honey. When you cover the honey, no fruit flies or bugs. No flies, they can come. Why? The honey is covered. Same thing, that's why girls cover. Because they are so precious. Then he went, he followed her. She was walking ahead of him, way ahead of him. Now he noticed something. When she was walking, the wind would come. And then the wind, because it was so windy, got in her dress. And when the wind is blowing on her dress shows the contours of her body. She was wearing a white dress, right? But because of the wind, they look like tight. You know how people wear tight clothes? Like this? It is so disgusting and it is so bad manner for people to wear tight clothes, right? Now, she's wearing the light clothes, she's wearing the light dress just like you. But the problem is, when the wind blows on for that, it sticks with the body and it appears to be like what? Tight. Showing exactly how her body looked like. And Prophet Musa was walking where? Behind him. He is a honest, high man of the Prophet. Would he accept that? So he didn't accept that. So he called her. He said, "Sister, please stop." So she stopped. "Yes, yes, yes, brother." He said, "Sister, I don't want to walk behind you. I walk in front of you, and you direct me with either your sound. And if I'm far away from you and you cannot yell that much, just pick a rock and throw it in the direction." Like this. Pick a rock and throw it what? In the direction. So if you wanted me to go right and I'm far away, you say, "Right, right, I'm not hearing you." What do? You bring the rock, don't throw it on my head. Now, you bring the rock and throw it what? To the right. Then I will see the rock and then I will go to the right. So, see how honest is he? So she said, "Okay." And then she walked behind him. So he is not looking at her anymore. And then he walks ahead and she directs him. He arrived at the house where her father lives. He walks into the house. Her father welcomes him. "Assalamu alaikum, stranger. Who are you? Where did you come from? What is your story? What happened to you? How? Where did you grow up?" You know, so Musa told him the whole story. So the guy said, he's a prophet. The guy said, "From what I feel, from the feelings that Allah gave into my heart, when I heard the story, I can tell from the feelings that Allah puts in my heart that you are now saved. That you are now what? Saved. And they cannot harm you any more." So, okay. Then the girl that brought him, she said to her dad, "Dad," she was coming from behind the curtains, right? Because daddy and the stranger were sitting in the men's section and they were, the girls were inside. So she came from behind the door and she said, Daddy, I want to talk to you, Daddy." So daddy came, "Yes, daughter." She said, "Daddy, why don't you hire him? Why don't you hire him to do the what?" The water for the sheep. To take care of the sheep. To shepherd our goats and sheep. So daddy said, "Why do you think?" The daughter said, "He's a very good choice." So daddy looked at his daughter like this. He looked at her in the eye like this. And he said, "Why do you think it's a very good choice, darling?" She said, "Because he has two things. Later. That two qualities are the most important two qualities." He said, "What are these two qualities, my sweetheart?" She said, "He is strong and honest." He's what? Strong and honest. So he said, "My daughter, how did you know he is strong and honest?" She said, "He is strong, I can tell, because he lifted the rock all by himself without struggling." But then he said, "How about honesty?" Then what did she say? How did she know that he's honest? Exactly. It was showing her body like it's she's wearing tight clothes, and she would lift up and show her what? Legs, because of the wind. You know how the wind will lift up the skirt and make the legs show? Okay, she said he refused to walk behind me when it was so windy, so that he doesn't get to see any of these things, and he told me that he wants to walk in front of me, and he told me to direct him with sound or with rock. So he's a strong and honest. Then he looked into his daughter in the eye and he said, "Strong and honest. And what else?" What else? So the daddy, the daughter's face became red. She shied. He said, okay, my daughter. I think it's a good idea to hire her. He went back to Musa and he said, I have a deal for you. I have a what? Deal for you. What is the deal? The deal was, okay, he said, alright. He said, I will let you marry my daughter. I will let you what? Marry my daughter and live with us. I let you marry my daughter and live with us. And for one condition. He said, what is the one condition? He said, the condition is that you live with us for 8 years and take care of our sheep and goat for how long? 8 years. So if you commit to live with us 8 years, and if you're nice, make them 10. So 8, it's a half to 8, but it's an optional 10. Alright? So it's up to you to make them 10 or not, but it's minimum 8. Marry my daughter and live with us and take care of our sheep and goats. Okay? Now he didn't have a son, right? The man, so far, he has only 2 daughters, no son. Suddenly, he has a what? A son. And not any son, a strong son. Prophet Musa, he said, I take the deal. Why did he like her? We know why did she like him, but why did he like her? Because, she was shy. She was shy and she wouldn't go and push the other savage shivers to put her goats to drink water, and she wouldn't talk to him. She would be shy and she would stand far away when she talks to him. Which means that she is so precious and she is so protected from the flies that she has never seen any flies before. She's so clean, she's so honest, she's so shy. She is really, really, really like a diamond jewelry. So he said, yes, I accept. Then they got married. And they got married and they lived with his father-in-law in the same tent, in the same place, in the same house. And he would take care of the what?
Mustafa.
I would take care of the what?
I will ask you.
Sheep and goats, that's right. He would take care of the sheep and goats. 8 years. And they got kids, they lived happily, and it was wonderful. And the old man, suddenly, he has a strong man who's taking care of the house, who is a husband for one daughter, and a brother for the other daughter. And it was wonderful. So, the person has 2 girls, now he has 2 girls and 2 boys. Subhanallah. Because the other girl will marry and he will have 2 sons. Right? So here we go. After the 10 years are over, Prophet Musa wants to what? Go back. Go back where? Homeland. So after he stayed 10 years, and the other daughter got married, and there was another man to live with them and to take care of the other daughter and her father. Then he felt that he can go back where? Home. So he prepared his luggage, took his cattle, and took his sheep and goats. They used to travel with goats. You know why? Because in the desert, they can drink from the what? Milk. So that is like having Walmart walking with you. Continuous milk supply, right? If they need milk when they are traveling, if they need milk, they can't go to the store. They go to the goat and they milk the goat and they get milk. You understand? So, and then also, if they get so hungry, they can slaughter the goat and sheep and barbecue it and have a very good meal. And then they save the rest and they eat along the way. So that's how they used to live, by taking with them live animals. Drink their milk and then eat them at one point. You got it? So he got his sheep, he got his goat, he got his family, and he started shepherding all these livestock with him. And he started heading towards Egypt. Going south towards Egypt. Then while he was traveling, at one night, when he was in the middle of the deserts of Sinai, near a mountain called Tur, So what is the name of the desert? Sinai. What is the name of the mountain? At-Tur. What is the name of the mountain? At-Tur. That Allah said, and who knows the mountain of At-Tur is mentioned where? In which surah? وَالْتِينِ وَالْزَيْتُونَ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ The Tour of Sinai. وَطُورِ سِينِينَ The Tour Mountain in Sinai. You understand now what is Tour Sinine? It is the Tour Mountain. Why Allah is swearing by this place? Because Allah honors this place so much. Why? You know what now? What is so special about this place? It was very dark night, very cloudy. It was so dark and so windy and so creepy. Hello, am I getting the attention? It was so what? Windy. It is so what? Dark. It is so cold, so creepy. It is so dark that if you stick out your hand like this, you don't see your own hands. Just imagine yourself in the middle of the desert. It's so cold, it's so windy, you don't know, you can't see nothing. It's complete darkness. It's like swimming in a dark ocean, and you can't see even your hand. And it's so creepy. You can't believe how creepy it is to be in this. Just imagine walking, not knowing where are you heading to. You can fall in anywhere, in any at any time they lit a fire, what happens? The wind will what? Blow it out. They lit another fire, the wind blow it out. Until they run out of wood. Now they want what they want to do. They are staying, they are so cold, they are so scared. They don't know they can't see anything to see if there is any place they can go to. They are stuck in the middle. And then suddenly, Prophet Musa sees a fire. Fire over there. Near the mountain. Right next to the mountain. A fire right next to the mountain. So he said to his wife, yes, a fire. Let me go and ask the people over there to give me some, yes, and the livestock and everything, the sheep, the cattle, and they are lost because they can't see anything, they can't go anywhere. So he saw that this fire, he said, yes, yes, finally, now I can go, now I can get a piece of fire like a candle, now I can ask them which direction is north, which direction is south, which direction is east, which direction is west, right? Now I can figure out my way. So he went, and then he started approaching. But at the same time, he had to be what? Very careful or careless. Why? Because those guys could be dangerous and bad guys. So he wanted to first go sneaking and take a peek. If they look like good guys and they have the families, then he would go and approach them. If they look like criminals and bad guys, then he would stay away from them. So the fire was there and he started getting close, slowly sneaking on the fire. On the fire. And the more he comes closer to the fire, the more surprised he gets. You know why? Huh? There's nobody! Huh? Nobody, guys. They're hiding on me? No. He goes there. There is no trace of any light. No, not even a small animal walking. It's completely quiet. And the fire was in the middle of the land. So you can see around the fire clearly. It's flat land. Okay, and then the mountain is there. You can't go anywhere. Here's the mountain, here's the land. Where are the people? And this fire, what was the big surprise? That this fire wasn't there. This fire wasn't there. It suddenly came out when he saw it. Because at the beginning, they were waiting and there was nothing. Right? Suddenly the fire came out. So, common sense says that somebody started the fire. Right? But who started the fire? Nobody. Prophet Musa started feeling greed. Nothing, scared, panic. Oh my God, this is not normal. What is going on here? And then he started getting closer to find out. Maybe he can find out something. And he's getting closer. And he's getting closer. And closer to the fire. And he heard a voice. Unbelievable voice. Ya Musa! He freaked out. He started running. And the voice was saying, Ya Musa! Now, if you run away from a voice, how would you feel? How would you notice if you run away? What do you notice if you run away from a voice? It's getting quieter, right? Right? Isn't that right? The voice was like, you know how you figure out where the voice is coming from? The voice was coming from both directions. Right here, right and left. Like this. It's like having two speakers here talking to him. He runs away and the voice is still coming from here and here. It's like headphones. It's like you're running away like this with headphones. How does it feel when you run away with headphones and somebody's talking to you in the headphones? Are you running away from the sound? No, the sound is moving with him in the headphones, right? That's what we felt. Every time he goes, Ya Musa, and it's like exactly headphones. The sound, it doesn't matter how far he goes, the sound is exactly the same. The sound is what? Right here. So, after he got tired, Ya Musa! Ya Musa! After he got tired, he settled down. Then, yes, Ya Musa, I am Allah, the Lord of the universe. Allah, the Lord of the universe, started shaking, sweating, and crying. Ya Musa, I am the Lord of the universe. I am the only one that deserves to be treated as God. I am the only one that deserves to be treated as God. I am the only one who should be begged for things. Right? He came from Egypt. Who is saying treat me as God? The Pharaoh. And not only that, but he's also saying treat these pictures the way you treat God. Yeah. So the Pharaoh was asking the people to treat him as a God and to treat these statues as gods. Right? Yes. Allah said, I am the only God and the only one who should be treated as God and the only one who should be begged for things. Right? They used to go to these idols and they bring the idols like this and they put the idols like that and they treat this idol like God. You saw how stupid they are? They put an idol like this and they start, Oh my Lord Ra, my Lord Ra. I humiliate myself under your feet. Please, I beg you. My son is sick and he's about to die. I beg you to save him from death. I beg you to save him from the disease. Oh my God, oh Ra. You are so kind. Nobody's more kind than you. Please, you are so generous. Nobody's more generous than you. Please. He is treating this piece of stone the way Allah should be treated. Huh? Hello? Why? Because somebody convinced him that this is a middle guy. That this guy is big enough to get the attention of Allah and is small enough to listen to him. So there has to be this middle guy in between. Is that true or false? Allah can't hear us directly? Allah doesn't answer us directly? Do we need middle guys? If you speak, you say, Ya Allah. Isn't He listening to you? Isn't He even, if you're not even thinking about Him, isn't He still with you? Isn't He hearing you? Isn't He even sublime to you without you asking? Do you beg Him for air? Who begs Allah for air? Nobody. Now, why are we getting air even though we didn't ask for it? Because He knows we need air. Right? So before you ask, He's giving you what you want before asking. Who's digesting our food? Allah. Do you have to beg Allah to digest your food? No. So He's digesting your food without you asking. Why? So He's not only answering you when you call on Him, He's also knowing what you need and He's giving it to you before you ask. Did you beg Allah to have legs? To walk? To have hands? To hold? Did you beg Allah for a thumb? You know, if you don't have a thumb, can you hold this without a thumb? Thumb. Can you hold this without a thumb? I want you to hold this without a thumb. Look. No. Pick it up without a thumb. Okay. No. Pick it up from the back side without a thumb. You can't. Did you beg Allah for a thumb? Did you ask Him for a thumb? If I cut your thumb, your hand would lose 80% of its function. So you can't use your hand for 80% of what you use your hand for. Huh? This is because you are a good girl. I know a lot of people who don't appreciate having a thumb. They say, this is the least that He can give me. Everybody's having a thumb. What is so special? Oh, this is exactly what I am missing. Not having a thumb. It's normal. This is the least I deserve. Everybody's having a thumb. Why not me? People who think that way, are they being thankful and appreciative of these thumbs? Are they? No, they are not. Uh-huh. So Allah is hearing you, giving you, providing to you before you ask. So that is the first thing Allah wanted Musa to know, and He wants us to know that who is the one that deserves to be treated like God? Nothing but Him. Is He a picture to beg? No. Is He a statue to talk to? No. He is unseen. Is He with us? Yes. All the time? Yes. Where? Unseen. He's with us, but we can't see Him. He is with us, taking care of us, without us seeing Him. He's like a guardian angel who's protecting you without you feeling anything. You just don't know that the guardian angel is working so hard to protect you. So here we go. The first thing you need to know that I am Allah, that there is no other God except me. I am the only one to be begging for things. I am the only one who should be treated as a God. And then He tells him, "Ibud me, worship me, obey me, listen to me, get closer to me." Now, does Allah need us to worship Him? No. Does He want us to beg Him? He wants, yes. But does He benefit from that? No. Then, does He need us to beg Him? No, He doesn't. Then why is He asking us to worship Him and beg Him and get closer to Him? Why? Huh? Yeah, but He doesn't need that. It's like something that He doesn't need. Yes. He wants to give us Jannah. Allah doesn't want to create us and throw us in hell. You understand that, girls? It's very important that you understand that. He doesn't like throwing people in hell. Does Allah like throwing people in hell? Does Allah like to throw people in hell? No, He doesn't like that. He's not pleased. He's not pleased when He is... Sit down. When He is...
But she's sitting.
I didn't notice, you should have alerted me. Okay? And so you should. She's my sweetheart. She's my Barbie princess. No, I was talking about you. You are my sweetheart. It doesn't mean that I tell you to sit down, that I don't love you so much, that you're not so dear to me. If you're not dear to me, I wouldn't care about you sitting down or sleeping or going to the bathroom. Actually, it's a good relief that you get lost. You know? But because I care about you. Okay, alright. So what happens is, why? Why does Allah, it's very important that we understand that. It's very important that we understand that boys and girls. Allah is happy and pleased when He gives us what? Jannah. He created us and He wants us to go where? To Jannah. That's what pleases Him. That what makes Him happy is to give us, to send us where? Jannah. People don't want to go to Jannah. Okay. People say, no, we're not going to Jannah. We want to go to hell. Hellfire, yes. People don't want to go to Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah wants to take you to Jannah and people don't want to go. You know, just imagine, come to Jannah. I'm not interested. Come to Jannah. I don't want to go to Jannah. Why don't you want to go to Jannah? Because I don't want Jannah. I'm free. Didn't you create me and you said I have the freedom of the choice? Right? Right. You made me and you said I'm free to choose. Right? Right. Am I free or not? Yes, I am. You are free. I don't want to go to Jannah. I want to go to hell. Why? I don't want Jannah. I'm not interested in Jannah. You are now not being upstairs. And you're hurting my feelings. Oh, you're hurting my feelings. I will not stop crying until you sit down.
Sasha.
Did you sit down? Okay, sit down. Okay? You understand that? You understand that who goes to hellfire?
Take a seat.
Who goes to hellfire? The people who are insisting in going to hell. Man, I made you, I gave you freedom of choice, and I showed you the way to Jannah. And I'm telling you, go to Jannah, go!
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go to Jannah.
Why? I don't like Jannah. I am not interested in Jannah. I want to go where? Hellfire. And Allah is not pleased when He's taking people to hellfire. So that is the first thing you need to know. Okay, let me quiz you. Allah created us to send us where? To Jannah. What would make Allah pleased for us to go where? To Jannah. Now, to go to Jannah, He knows that the way to go to Jannah is to come close to where? To who? To Him. So here is the way to Jannah. Here is the road to Jannah. Okay? So, He builds the road to Jannah, and because we have freedom, we have what? Ali, you can't be talking. Because you have freedom, okay, should I stop? No.
Come on, man.
No, it's not. It's not because they want to take the shortcuts. Because they are stupid. People are so ignorant. No? Yes. It looks like that. But here's Allah. He said, okay, here's the road to Jannah. Here's the road to hell. Okay? And you human free to choose. Okay, I am free to choose. I'm not interested in Jannah. Why do you want to force me to go to Jannah? Would Allah force somebody to go to Jannah? No. I'm not interested in Jannah. I love hellfire. I want to go to hell. How? By making the choice, huh? Allah says, here's the road to Jannah. And this is what pleases me. I'll be very happy if you go to Jannah. You got it? So that's why Allah is telling Musa, I am the only one who he should be treated as God. If you treat somebody else as God, then, or you treat somebody else the way you should treat me, then you're going where? To hell. This is the road to hell. And if you worship anybody else or submit to anybody else the way you should be submitting to me, that is the road to where? Hell. And then he said, this is how you can keep me in your focus. This is how you keep me in the focus. He told him about the secret to keep Allah where? Focus. You know what focus is? Yes. So that you always thinking of Allah. Before making decisions, before hurting somebody's feeling, you are thinking about Allah. So that you stop doing that. And then he told him another surprise. You know when I'm going to tell you this surprise? When you come back after Eid, the school year starts, and we resume the story time again. I'm going to refresh your memory. And then we're going to start by what kind of secrets did Allah tell Musa when he was talking to him? Attack the candy! No, not now. That was later. And they were not 10. They were more than 10. They were...
businesses
انت تسجل هلا كل شيء
انت تعمل لنا
حكي لكل اللي نحكيه هلا مسجل
لا
خلص
والله
انا لا في ايت ما في
انت تعمل لنا فيها سمباتيك
على
الاقل انت عارف ان انا بسجل حبايبك ما بتعرفش بيشغلوا لك التليفون